Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Russell Westbrook, as everyone knows by now, last night broke a record. And we're not even going to sit here and act like it's one of the most prestigious records in NBA history, right? But still, it is a record, Rob, that I think it's fair to say nobody in our lifetimes, Rob, in our lifetimes that we've been following and covering basketball, don't you think it's fair to say people thought that record would never be broken?
Yeah, it was a record that was never talked about because 40 years had passed before anybody had. You know what I mean? So, Chris, it was one of those where there was never even a conversation. I've been covering the league since 1987. I don't remember anybody remotely, Chris, saying, hey, he's close to averaging a triple-double. Right. Not even once. Am I wrong? Absolute. Do you remember that? I don't remember that ever.
No, I mean, not even Magic, who, you know, would get close with maybe 8 rebounds. Obviously, could have the points and assists. But, yeah, no, you're right. LeBron never got that close. You know, LeBron would average 7 assists, 7-8 rebounds. So, yeah, you're right. And the talk was, could somebody do it? And Russell Westbrook, of course, 5 years ago, went ahead and became, you know, the first player since Oscar Robertson to average a triple-double for a season, was rewarded with the MVP for it.
Some people tried to poo-poo that. I did not. I thought that that was especially because the winning. They used to win big time at a higher rate when he got triple-doubles. It wasn't just a stat padding kind of thing at the end. They were winning games.
Rob, of his 182 triple-doubles, they've won 75% of those games.
That's what I'm saying.
That's incredible.
That's an incredible number, and it says a lot. It says that his numbers are meaningful.
So he broke last night Oscar Robertson's record of 181 triple-doubles in a career. Now Westbrook has 182. This will be his fourth season. It's already official. He could go scoreless, assistless, and reboundless for the rest of the season and still average a triple-double. It'll be his fourth year. He's the only player ever to average a triple-double for multiple seasons. And, Rob, he did it in fewer games than the Big O. So this is an incredible benchmark that he's hit, and props to him. He got flowers from everybody in the NBA. And I think it's well deserved. So I give him credit. You're not incredibly impressed. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, but I'm not. It's not that. It's because I'm not ripping him. I've already given him his flowers. I was one of his biggest proponents, you know, for the MVP that year, Chris, when some people were trying to poo-poo it. But I just think the record, nobody knew what the record was. Like that's the part that I think makes it different. If we knew, and I'm not trying to equate this to the all-time home run record, Chris, that Babe Ruth had, but we knew that number. It was 714, right? When Hank Aaron broke that record and hit his 715th, the world stopped. It was like, oh, my God. Like, Babe Ruth was always the home run king, and Hank Aaron broke this record. Nobody knew what the record was. And that's just because it was out of our minds. Only one guy was doing the triple-double, so it's just different. It's not like all these guys came close and failed because they couldn't do it. I don't know how many people...
Like 400 or something.
Right. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing like that gives us to where I stood up last night and I said, wow, I can't believe he did that. Like, I didn't get that. And that's not to diminish. I'm not trying to hate on him. I'm not. And anybody who thinks I am, go listen to when he won the MVP, Chris. I was as big of a supporter as anybody.
No, I
just
hear
didn't
you.
Think it registered as big as maybe some people made it out to be.
There's only a few. What's bigger to me is him averaging a triple-double for four seasons. That's what's bigger to me. And yeah, this is impressive. But to your point, it's not one of those records that's talked about a lot. And so it's just not quite as – I agree that the individual moment wasn't as big. But he is now Mr. Triple-Double. And I think, Rob, this is huge for his legacy. I think a few things, and I want to get your opinion on these thoughts. One, he's now Mr. Triple-Double, and that will be his legacy.
No, for that's Oscar, it. Absolutely.
Right? Oscar Robertson won a championship with Lou Alcindor, now Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But what over the last 40 years, Rob, whenever people think about Oscar Robertson, what do they think? He averaged a triple-double for a full season. Like that, it wasn't, oh, he won a championship with Kareem. And so unless Westbrook somehow, which I don't think will happen, builds a dynasty, right? Unless he wins two in a row or two in 3 years or three in 4 years, something like that, his legacy will be the triple-double. And so that's fine. I don't think he'll win another ring. We'll see. He might. But I don't think he'll lead a team to a ring. And that leads me to this point, Rob. I think it is now arguable, very arguable, that he is the best player ever to never win a ring. Now, we'll see. Again, he may win one. But right now, I think it's arguable. Now, I think James Harden's better. There are those that think probably Karl Malone was better. Maybe Charles Barkley.
I was going to say, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone would be higher on my list, even higher than James Harden at this point, Chris. And depending on what happens this year, obviously.
Yeah, he's probably going to win one, I think.
He's going to win probably, right, or next year. But Karl Malone, the second all-time leading scorer in the history of the NBA, what didn't he do? I mean, I don't – What he just didn't win, but he didn't. He did everything. I don't. He was a great player. Charles Barkley was a great player. Russell Westbrook. I don't know. I don't know if I could put him in that conversation as the greatest player who never won a ring.
I still would pick
Barkley or Malone over him.
I think I might go with Harden. Karl Malone certainly arguable, but here's what I'd say. Those guys, obviously, none of them have won rings, okay? So we're not really talking about winning. I mean, we can talk about getting to the finals, but they've all gotten to the finals, except even Harden got to the finals with OKC. But they've all gotten to the finals. And all I'm saying is this. I subjectively like Harden better. You like, I think, Malone better. Someone else may like Barkley or Stockton better. Steve Nash, whatever. The one objective thing you can look at are the stats. And the thing you can say about Westbrook that you can't say about the others is he did something that no one else in the history of basketball has. And I'm just saying that could sway some people. And Rob, you know this, Rob, as time goes on, unless, you know, other players start averaging a triple-double for a season, as time goes on, the details will get blurry. You know, so it won't be people, especially the younger generations, they won't focus on, oh, you know, at the end of games, he played the last 2 minutes like it was the middle of the second quarter. He didn't really play time and score. You know, he shot a lot of threes even though he wasn't a good shooter. And, you know, all people will remember is, my goodness, this dude at 6'3 averaged a triple-double for 4 years.
Right.
And so that's when I think it could be a drumbeat where people say, you know what? He was and he has won at a significant level. He's been to the finals, been to four conference finals. You know, he's won more playoff series than Chris Paul. And Chris Paul's played 15 years. Westbrook's played 12. He's won as many as Steve Nash, and Nash hasn't been to the finals. You know, so he's won. He hasn't been, like, on scrub teams, you know, where they don't even make the playoffs and blah, blah, blah. So I think there's that. And then, Rob, I'm going to leave you with this last thing, and I want your opinion on this before we go to the listeners. I believe, Rob, you can no longer tell the story of basketball without talking about Russell Westbrook. And I don't know that there's another player that never won a ring, you know, depending on how short the story is, that you can say that about. Like, you got to get Westbrook in there now.
No, he makes the final edition of the right. NBA book. There's no way you can write around him. Prior to this, it was the Big O. The Big O would always be in the book.
Who has a ring, too.
Exactly. So, yeah. But he would be in the book, right. But I'm saying, yes, there's no way he could be left out no matter what his accomplishments. And it does separate him. But I think you're right. As time goes on, if other guys start doing triple-doubles, it will change the way we look at it, and it won't be considered the same because of the gap between the Big O and him doing it for the first time. That's what was incredible, was that I don't know the exact years, Chris. Was it 30 or 40 years gap between when the Big O did it?
And, it was about 40, roughly.
Roughly. I mean, that's something that's incredible that hadn't been done for 40 years. It's kind of like when we talk about Ohtani. There hasn't been a guy who pitched and hit in the big league since Babe Ruth in the 20s, right? That's what puts him on a different plateau from anybody else.
And if it became commonplace, it wouldn't make
it. Then it wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't be as big of a deal, right? Absolutely. So if Luka and Jokic look like the guys that might have a shot at doing it, if one of them or both of them does it for a few seasons, then it's not going to be as big of a deal. But if nobody else does it for the next 30, 40 years, I think Russell Westbrook's legacy will just continue to grow and grow and grow. And he may be viewed in 20 years as an even better player than he's viewed as right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jacksonville Jaguars, of course, Urban Meyer, the new coach, never coached in the NFL before, college football coaching legend, trying his hand at the big leagues. And he's off to an interesting start, to say the least. He is bringing in his former star quarterback. And when I say former, I mean former. I mean, like, how many years ago? Probably 12, 13 years ago, Tim Tebow starring at the University of Florida for Urban Meyer. And he's bringing Tebow in now as a tight end. Tebow last played in the NFL in 2012, 9 years ago. And or really, might as well be 10 years ago. And he, of course,
was
a quarterback.
Chris, when did you say that? Because he didn't play those last couple years. Remember, he's with the Jets for a full year. He didn't play at all.
Right. Right, and so he was a quarterback and a bad one. And now he's getting a shot again in the NFL, this time as a tight end. Rob, your thoughts? A lot of people are upset about this. What are your thoughts?
I'm not the only one, Chris. I mean, people can say whatever they want, but I think there's a lot of people in the football community, and now there's talk that maybe there's some buzz, some players in that locker room who are like trying to see, like, what is this? Why is he bending over backwards to give Tebow a chance to play a position, Chris, that he's never played? And aren't there other worthy people who are maybe deserve an opportunity? And then is Tebow going to be like the spy for him? Everybody knows they have like a personal relationship. Is he the spy in the locker room?
Are those reports or is that just your mind?
No, I mean,
work?
I just know how players work. They know when somebody's somebody's guy.
Spy.
You know what I mean? Like, he's somebody's guy. So he might be trying to find out what's going on. Who's giving a problem? Who didn't show up? Tebow could be like a tattletale.
All right.
But the bottom line is he hasn't earned this opportunity. I don't care if he played college football. Do you know how many tight ends probably played for Urban Meyer in his all the years he coached, or you know what I mean, in college football. Oh, yeah. Maybe there's somebody. And Chris, it's fine. If you told me that Tim Tebow was going to be a third-string quarterback, hold the clipboard, never get in a game unless it was a catastrophe. I could see that scenario because that job is a gift job. Yeah, that's a gift job because people don't play.
God
third-string quarterback.
Your first two quarterbacks get hurt.
Nah, but that
then
doesn't
you happen
very
him
often.
In there.
That doesn't happen that often, but maybe. But to give this guy a shot, Chris, at 33, 34, you know what most players in the NFL, if you start at 22, that's a 12-year career. You're at the back end. This ain't a 23-year-old who can teach a new dog. You know, like you're not teaching him anything new if he had experience. And this is another example of Urban Meyer, and I'm not alone at this. What is he doing, Chris, to start his career in the NFL? You remember the strength and conditioning coach who had all the racial issues?
Yep.
He hired him.
That was a mistake.
That was a misstep.
And we were one of the first, if I remember correctly, Rob,
we jumped on it. Yep. What is he doing with this? Yep. Why would you even do this? And if you remember, Chris, he justified it. You remember he pushed back at the press conference
for a
minute, and then all of a sudden, all hell, he started hearing from people.
Right.
That changed. So the guy, I forgot the guy's name. They asked him to step down, or I'm sure they gave him some money to go away, right? Because they didn't want the issue.
Oh, yeah.
And now here we are with the Tebow. And now are you going to have any issues? There have been other veteran NFL people, not just a sports writer, Chris, but people who played in the league who don't like it and think that Urban Meyer's like overdoing it to pacify or to hook up his buddy Tim Tebow, and that there are other people deserving. That's what bothers me, is I know there's somebody else out there who didn't get a fair shot, who played tight end, who was looking for an opportunity, who would love that chance.
Well, there's no denying that there are far more deserving players than Tim Tebow. Younger, they're guys that are tight ends, actually, and not quarterbacks. Tons of guys who deserve this. But I'm going to be honest, Rob. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem. This is obviously his guy. He likes him, and he's giving him a shot. Now, if Tebow goes out there and is horrible and he still makes the team, that's when I'll have a problem with it, and I think that's when the locker room will potentially have a big-time problem with it. And that's when an Urban Meyer could really be in trouble with his players. And so that's what he's got to watch. But I don't have a problem with Tim Tebow getting a shot at tight end. It does no harm. I actually, and I'm surprised you said that you wouldn't have an issue if he was a quarterback.
No, I'm just saying I could understand it.
Yeah,
no, I could understand it is what is better for me to say.
Because he can't play quarterback in the NFL. We saw that. He was god-awful as a quarterback. And I know, and we talked about it, you know, we kind of joked back and forth and went back and forth at it. He did win. He went 7-4 in Denver as the starter, got that team to the playoffs somehow. He did actually have a little success, but it had nothing to do with his arm, and he was a horrible passer. And he, you know, the Jets gave him a shot. He just is not an NFL level quarterback. So I, Rob, would actually have more issue with it if after 10 years away from the league, you couldn't play the quarterback position when you were young and in your prime. If Urban Meyer brought him in and said, hey, we're going to give you a shot at quarterback, backup Trevor Lawrence. And there are a lot of people out there, Rob, talking about, hey, yeah, they're bringing him in as a wink, wink tight end. But, you know, we know they're going to use him like Taysom Hill, and, you know, he's going to be able to run the ball. Rob, and you brought up a point I do agree with you on, Urban Meyer. This is the college way. Like, he's doing these college things. One, the strength and conditioning coach. And then when you get pushed back, hold on, it's my program. I hire who I want.
Right.
How dare you question me? And then he found out quickly, oh, this isn't Ohio State or Florida or Utah. You know, no, you that don't work up at this level, buddy.
Not with grown men, Chris, making millions of dollars.
This is another college move. Now, I don't have a problem with it, but it's a college move, right? It going to get your boy that you had a great, you know, time with at Florida, and even if you're bringing him in because he had spirit and, you know, by all accounts, he's great in the locker room and all that, it's a college move. And if it doesn't work out, players, it could turn your players against you. But I'm going to throw this last thing out, Rob. All these people talking about, oh, he's going to put in a wildcat package and he's going to use him like Taysom Hill. Are you serious? If I'm the last thing you need to do to Trevor Lawrence is have a package of plays where you got Tim Tebow coming in playing quarterback instead of Trevor. Am I right on that?
No doubt. And Chris, here we go. And not that you need to bring, he's already, Chris, a lot of teams stayed clear of him because of the circus that comes with Tim Tebow.
That's very legitimate. So now
here it is. Lawrence struggles in the beginning. Put Tebow. Wait a minute. Tebow's there. You know, like all these people. You remember that playoff game he won against the Steelers? You know, Tebow just wins. Now you got why? Why do that to your franchise quarterback, Chris? Why bring him in there to add any kind of dialogue? It should all be about Lawrence. There's no way Tebow's going to be in there and not be a story, Chris, all year. You hear me?
You're right.
All year.
I don't know about all year, but certainly at the beginning.
Thing broke again? What is that?
They sent me a new one, but the old one was working for a while, so now I'm going to have to put in a new screw.
The mic, if people not watching, the mic just broke off in his hands.
My mic sound nice, just fell off. But anyway, I'm here. Look, if Trevor Lawrence plays lights out, like say Justin Herbert, then it won't be an issue, right? Nobody will be thinking about Tim Tebow playing quarterback. But you are right in that if he struggles, if he goes through growing pains, then there will be those. And look, it's in Jacksonville, Rob.
Right.
That's where Tebow's a hero.
This is what I'm saying, Chris.
Like I said, I don't have a problem giving him a try at tight end. But I tell you this, if he's sorry, if he can't catch a cold, if he can't run a pattern, if he's too slow to get open, then you got to cut him. Because that is when your players will be upset.
And you know this, Chris. The players know who belongs on the team.
Absolutely.
And the players know who deserves playing time. You can't fake it. You can't. They know they're out there.
No, you're absolutely right. And I don't think he's... You know, people talk about Taysom Hill. Look, Taysom Hill completed, 70% of his passes last year? Tebow was never, I mean, come on. He's not going to be close to that.
Never. Right.
Taysom Hill's got actual speed. Like, he is fast. Tebow's not that fast. And so, I don't have a problem with it philosophically. We know how this works, Rob. A lot of times it's who you know. It could be a mistake on Urban's part for the, you know, I mentioned that one of the reasons is that, you know, it's a college move. You brought up a great point that it could cause controversy. There's no doubt that if Trevor Lawrence, say they start 0-3 and Lawrence doesn't look good, the drumbeat will start.
It will. Chris, you already know it. You know it. Give Tebow, this will work. This will work with him. Let the kid take some time.
He knows your offense, right?
Right.
No, that is and I like Tebow, but he can't play quarterback in NFL. It's just as simple as that.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Our next guest is one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Yes,
he's an
indeed.
NBA champion and a Hall of Famer. Of course, he's a Hall of Famer. We welcome in Oscar Robertson. Oscar, welcome to the iCouple.
What's happening?
Hey, thank you, guys. Thanks for inviting me.
No, it is great to have you on. And obviously, you know the occasion, Russell Westbrook.
Sure.
Surpassed your triple-double record yesterday. Did you think that that would ever be broken because, I mean, Magic couldn't do it, Jason Kidd. Nobody.
LeBron.
Did you think it would? That's a record that would never be broken?
You know, I never thought of it, but Russell Westbrook is a great example of the guy who would break it. Look at the guy. He's athletic. He understands the game of basketball. He's all over the court. He's the guy. I mean, the guy is sensational as far as I'm concerned.
As the game, do you recognize the NBA? I mean, I've been covering the league since 1987, and my goodness, has it changed. This NBA, do you like it? Do you like the way they play? Obviously, it's all about threes and dunks, but do you like this NBA?
Well, I like certain teams to play. I mean, naturally, the kid out at Golden State, where he's shooting the basketball. But what bothers me more than anything is that they don't seem to adjust their defenses for what's going on with the offense. It's a wide open center. There are no centers per se. There are two or three big guys. But obviously, there are 6-7 guys playing the post. Very few block shots. You don't have a Will Russell, Nate Thurman, or guys like that inside, or Kareem inside blocking shots. So it's wide open. So it's almost like give me the ball. If I can dribble around you, I'm going to beat you.
Right. Oscar, tell us, and I don't know how many people know this, but you average a triple double for one full season, but I've done the math. And if you take your first 5 seasons in the NBA together, I think it's like 384 games, you average a triple-double over those 5 seasons.
Well, I think somebody's forgotten about that.
No, we haven't.
We have not. But tell us, because I don't know. I think because Westbrook's done it now 4 seasons, I think people are belittling, to a small degree, the triple-double. Tell us how difficult it is to get a triple-double, in points, rebounds, and assists.
I mean, it's very difficult. And, honestly, when I was doing this, I had no knowledge of what a triple-double was.
Yeah, they didn't keep the stats on it, right, back then.
Yeah, but I think now that they're keeping the stats, and Westbrook, he's getting the rebounds. Man, the guy gets 20 rebounds one night, 17. He's inside tearing those boards down. And when he played for Houston, I know they traded him from Oklahoma to Houston. Man, he was a hero for Houston. Look at the rebounds he got for Houston.
Right.
Then when they don't win, who do they blame? Boom, they're playing Westbrook. And now he's with Washington. And, all of a sudden, before the season started, oh, man, what are they going to do? They traded this one kid, I don't know his name now, to Houston. Oh, man, all of a sudden, this guy is big. The Ashes have got some fire in them now.
Right. No doubt. Oscar, for a lot of young people listening in on the radio, they have no idea. When you think of Cincinnati, you think about the Cincinnati Reds, the first professional team in this country's history. But Cincinnati had a basketball team, an NBA team, the Royals, which you played for.
Yes.
What was that like? I know it didn't do well in Cincinnati. People didn't show. Give me a little history on because I know you had issues that people didn't come to watch you guys play in Cincinnati.
Well, I think some came to watch us play. The problem with the Cincinnati Royals is like the problem with a lot of cities in the inner cities of America. They're money pinchers. They get in the game. They don't understand. In order to win in sports, you need to spend the money more so now than they did yesteryear. Maurice Stokes was a player who got there 2 years before I did. He got hurt. That ruined the Royals.
Mm.
I don't know if you know who Maurice Stokes was.
A lot of the audience
listening to this conversation today will not know who he is, but he was a great individual basketball player. And then the year that Russell came into the league, Maurice Stokes was Rookie of the Year.
Wow. With Bill Russell. That says a lot. There's been a lot of people now putting out their list of, the top 5 point guards of all time. Do you consider yourself a point guard? You average 30 points a game. So do you consider yourself a point guard or a 2 guard or just a guard?
I'm just a guard.
Yeah, back then, that's how it was, right?
That's the thing today, they got off guards, guys who can't, but the 3-point shot has made a lot of players great players. versus yesteryear. And if a lot of guys couldn't shoot the three-point shot, where would they be? But right. I'm glad they can shoot the three-point shot because it's really revolutionized the game, and the fans really love it. It's really wonderful.
Yeah. What was it like going to Milwaukee, winning the championship with Kareem? I know Lou Alcindor, right, at that time. What was that experience like?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. They ran me out of Cincinnati. They said I hadn't done anything in 10 years. And all I did was make the first team All-Pro 10 straight years in a row. And
right.
with the way I played and whatnot, we didn't have a very good team. All Cincinnati wanted to do was get players from Cincinnati, Ohio State, or Miami, or Dayton, which was about 50 miles from it. And you don't win like that. People do not know this. I'm going to tell you guys the truth. My wife picked Milwaukee.
Is that really? Right? Your wife picked Milwaukee?
Yes,
what is she like, bratwurst and beer? Why'd she pick Milwaukee?
Well, we talked about it. We were talking about Baltimore. There was Phoenix. The Lakers said they didn't want me because they had Jerry West.
So,
well, that's all right. I laughed at it too. So the Knicks, they said they were happy with what they had. I think they had Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe. It might have been Earl Monroe, but anyway. We talked about the teams and whatnot, and I was a Midwesterner, and I didn't mind the cold weather and whatnot. Although I didn't realize how cold Milwaukee got.
Right.
But she looked at the school districts and what it could do education wise for my three daughters, and so she said, "Listen, Oscar," she said, "Milwaukee would be a great place," and so I made the deal.
Well, and got that ring. So you and Kareem obviously made a great tandem.
Well, we did, but I tell you about the ring, I mean, just because Kareem and I were on the team did not win the ring. I'm going to tell you, we had a great backup, a bunch of basketball players. Lucius Allen was one, had Dick Cunningham, Bob Boozer, and McCoy McLemore. Great players. And they were the staple of our team coming off the bench when guys got in foul trouble or something and making an addition to the team.
Now, when you were in Milwaukee, they also had the ABA, and you had a lot of great players, Dr. J and George Gervin and guys like that in the ABA. How good was the ABA? You know, a lot of people say that's more like today's NBA than the NBA was at that time. Tell us how good was the ABA and what your, like, NBA guys' thoughts were about the league. Did you guys look at it as kind of a semi-pro or minor league, or did you see, oh, these dudes are legit, it's a legitimate league?
They had some great players in the league, of course, there's no doubt about that. But overall, we didn't consider them a league of competition. You know, we played them in two or three exhibition games and beat them every time. So we just felt that they had some players who were cut by a lot of NBA teams and went and played and became stars. But you had some stars in ABA who have been stars anywhere. There's no doubt about that, the way they played. And then with the advent of the three-point shot, and boy, people started going to the basket, and I guess when Russell left, Wilton left the game, Nate Thurman left the game, who else was a shot blocker in those days? All the shot blockers changed and left. And then what happened, they changed the rules. They changed the rules to a point whereby if you're a center, and I hate to single this guy out, but I can't think of anyone else like Mark Eaton.
Right.
On offense, they would place Mark Eaton out near the center of the court, and they had a rule set the center had to follow him out there. Isn't that ridiculous?
That is ridiculous.
Right. Right. They did do that.
Hey, last thing for me, Oscar. What was the best play back in those days, the best city to go play in and the worst city?
I'm going to say the best city was New York.
So playing at the Garden, right?
Yes. And and the worst was Philadelphia.
Why was Philadelphia?
Because of the fans?
Yes, man. These fans were nasty, man. They called your name. Well, and Boston also. They called your names all the time, And sometimes, I never forget, I won't tell you the city I was in. After a game, I was going downstairs and got spit on me and Bob Dandridge.
Wow.
But we took a shower. We got it out of us.
Got it off, right? And keep it moving, right?
Yes, it did. It was different times in those days, I mean, it's not like it is today, I mean, and I think the game today is what people want to see. And I'm glad to have Russell Westbrook, because now you see he's on television. People want to see him play. They want to see what he's doing. They want to see Kareem. They want to see Curry. They want
Steph
to see
Curry.
LeBron.
Yep.
They want. Yep. You know, it's a star. They want to see stars. You know, if you don't have stars on your team, they don't want to see your team play.
Right. Well, yeah. That the NBA marketed stars, individuals, rather than teams.
Well, thank God for the Oscar Robertson rule.
Right.
No doubt.
because can you imagine if you didn't have the rule, guys would be making, what, maybe $75,000, $100,000, $200,000, maybe $400,000 or $500,000. They wouldn't be making $25, $30, or $40 million bucks a year
right.
to play basketball.
When you see the money totals, and I get it, I mean, you were compensated when you played, and I – you got obviously
like
guys,
did
I know,
you work
I know,
in the offseason? Did you work in the offseason?
Oh, sure, I had to.
Yeah. But, I mean,
what'd
they didn't
do?
Make –
I did a job for Pepsi-Cola and some other companies like that in around Milwaukee and whatnot.
Wow. Yeah, because, I mean, it was totally different then. It was off of ticket sales, not TV money. So you know what I mean? Like, you had to generate the money in order to pay people those kind of salaries. And now television does it. But when you see these guys, and even some guys, Oscar, who are just not even close to as good as you were, and you see scrubs on the bench making $15 or $18 million, not that you're hating on them, but do you look at that and go, that's unbelievable?
I don't. I'm not jealous of them, but I wish I'd have been able to make some money like that. But you know, I'm so happy because I know that in the future, their families, their kids, will never have to worry about being hungry again.
Right. That's the truth.
I hope that they get with some legitimate financial people, and protect their money.
Amen to that. Last thing from me, Oscar, and from us. What would be your all-time starting five? Two guards, two forwards, and a center.
It's impossible to do that, you know. I mean, with the way things are going today, but you know, I don't know. You know, you couldn't replace Jerry West. I don't care what these guys do. And look at Michael Jordan. Look at and the way Curry shoots and Russell Westbrook with the triple double. And you know, he's not even talked about it for MVP candidate anymore. I think that's a shame, and that's a disgrace. Here he has a record, he broke a record, and they don't even think about it.
Yeah,
but anyway,
but
you know, Bob Pettit was a great player, and Rick Barry won the championship for Golden State years ago.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of great basketball players, and I think that I like guys I know that I like: Elgin, Russell,
right.
Chamberlain, Bob Pettit, Jerry West. You know, I like those guys.
And you.
Elgin Baylor. Those are guys I like, but, you know, I mean, and that's who I played against. And those guys are in the Hall of Fame today.
Right. Some of the best to ever do it. All right, that is the great Oscar Robertson.
What an honor. What an absolute honor to have you on our show. We appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Listen, let me say this. And I tell people who watch and listen to the show, Russell Westbrook should win the MVP again.
Wow. All right.
We heard it.
And hey, Oscar, one last thing. I've always felt a connection with you in Cincinnati. You know, I was the first black reporter they ever hired to cover the Cincinnati Reds at the Cincinnati Inquirer. So I always felt a kinship to you being
you know
in
what?
Cincinnati.
You know what? You should get a big medal.
In that town, right?
Because let me tell you, I mean, you know, I grew up in Cincinnati. I was the first black to play basketball there, man. Hell, I couldn't even hardly go downtown in Cincinnati when I played there.
Yeah, I believe it.
I know it.
I believe it.
Definitely.
All right, Big O, thank you very much. We appreciate the time.
Hey, I'll talk to you guys later.